The Bible tells us how we should live our lives. It teaches us how we should be husbands, how we should be wives, how we should be good employers and good employees. We're told how we should be as a congregation, and for those who are elders, they're told how they should be, have an eldership. We're told how to be good parents, and we're told how to be good children. You know, when you think about being a child, we don't necessarily just talk about those who are kids who are living at home. All of us are children to someone. So in a sense, we all are children. And we'll be talking about both children who are at home and those of us who are adults and who are out of the home but still have parents, whether they're living or whether they have passed on. All of us have parents, and so I think this lesson will apply to us all in one way or another. But children have the God-given responsibility, those children who are living at home have a God-given responsibility to obey their parents. And yet there are many children who are disrespectful to their parents. I hear kids who tell their parents no when they're told to do something. And then their parents don't do anything about it. They're just allowed to tell them no. And there are those who just simply refuse to follow the rules of the house, even if the parents decide to make rules. Sometimes parents don't make rules. But sometimes children are not willing to follow the rules of the house, and they're not made to follow the rules of the house by their parents. And yet, it is a child's responsibility, a child's God-given responsibility, to obey their parents, to do what their parents have them to do, tell them to do. And that's, we're going to talk about that this morning. But it's also a child's responsibility to honor their parents. And certainly a child living at home should honor their parents. But children who are adults, who are out of the home, who have parents who are living, or whose parents even have passed on, we have the responsibility always to honor our parents. We're going to be talking about both of those as we look in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. You can take out your Bibles and turn there to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, where we're going to see that young children should always obey, respect, and honor their parents, and adult children must always respect and honor their parents. And I hope that this is a lesson that's beneficial to all of us. It's certainly for the kids, but it's also for us as adults. I hope we all can get something out of it as we study this evening. So our purpose today, the reason for our study, is to first of all examine chapter 6 of Ephesians verses 1 through 3. We're going to look at the relationship and how it changes of parents to children through the years, how it is when children are living at home, and then how it changes as we go through time. And we're going to conclude that we have to always honor our parents. And I hope that all of us will at least get that out of this lesson for us today. But let's first of all talk to the kids. And we're going to realize that children are to obey your parents. It says in chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And it says, "For this is right." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, if children are going to obey their parents, then that requires that they submit to their parents. What their parents tell them to do, they're going to quickly do it. They're not going to say no. They're not going to say, "I'll do it later." They're going to do it because their parents have told them to do it. And I want to tell you that if a child is willing to submit to their parents, obey their parents the way that they are supposed to, that is going to make life easier for them. Guaranteed, it'll make life easier for them. Because it will create a peaceful home, and it will cause the right decision to be made. And you know, it's actually a good thing for a child to have decisions made for them. I sometimes wish that I could just sit back and let people make decisions for me. Because sometimes I make decisions and I make bad decisions. Sometimes I do the wrong thing. And maybe, certainly, parents aren't perfect and they're not always going to make the right choice for their kids. But it's much easier as a child to sit back and let your parents make the decisions for you. Enjoy being a kid while you are a kid. Because it's certainly a difficult life once you're not a kid anymore. For everyone. In some way or another, in a lot of ways for some people, and certainly ways for everyone, it is not easy being an adult. Because again, we're going to make right decisions sometimes, and we're going to make wrong decisions sometimes, because no adult is perfect. But when the child can sit back and let mom and dad make the decisions, it's best for them. And really, when that happens, it's going to help keep you out of trouble. So that you're not going to make decisions and do things that you think you should do. But if you trust the judgment and realize that you don't know everything, and that your parents know more than you do and are wiser than you are, then that again is going to make your life easier, and it's going to keep you out of trouble. Amen. Now, kids tend today to think that they know more than an adult, know more than their parents. Oh, I know. You don't have to tell me, or I know better than you do about this, or this is something that you don't understand. You know, I get it. You don't understand it. When I was growing up, I was a typical kid. I had the same idea. I thought that I knew things that my parents didn't know. I thought that they didn't understand some things that I understood. There was a song growing up, a song that was on the radio when I was growing up. It was called "Parents Just Don't Understand." And anybody who's in my generation would probably know that song. Some older might know that song. But parents just don't understand. It was by Will Smith. He used to rap some with a... And he was in the music industry, and he sang that song. Just don't understand. And that's what I thought, that my dad and mom just didn't understand everything that I did. And one day, his mom and dad got tired of it. And I don't know what I did. I remember it was after church. We lived next door to the church building. Dad preached there, and we'd walk to church every day. And when we got home from church, I knew when I was walking home that mom and dad were pretty upset, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know for sure what I'd done. But I got home, and they sat me and my sister down, and they said, "All right, we're going to have a powwow." And we had a powwow, and they told us what they thought about our disrespect and our thinking we knew more than they did. And quickly I realized my error. And I realized that they are probably a little smarter than I was. And certainly as you grow into an adult, you can look back and say, I didn't know anything as a kid. Half the stuff I thought I knew, I didn't know. And so we have to understand that first of all. If we're going to submit to our parents, it will make life easier and it will keep us out of trouble. It will keep kids out of trouble. But second of all, children should obey their parents because it is a commandment from God. There's a couple of passages that are very striking to me that I want us to look at in regard to children obey your parents and in regard to it being a commandment. Look with me first of all at Romans chapter 1. And when you look at these sins that are listed here in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 29 is where we'll start. It says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceitful, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things." Look at the next one. Disobedient to parents. Now, how can disobedient to parents be in the midst of all these sins? I mean, we're talking about murder. We're talking about those who hate God. We're talking about those who are full of deceit. They're sexually immoral. And in the middle of that, it says, disobedient to parents. undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's how strongly God feels about a child obeying their parents, when it's put into that kind of a category. We look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's the same idea. You see a list of sins there, and in the middle of that, you see being disobedient to parents, right there with it. Men, verse 2, will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Disobedient to parents, is it a big deal? Well, it is to God. God says that we are to obey our parents. Children, obey your parents. If that's not done, then that is being disobedient to God. And that's why it says to do so in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Don't obey parents if the obedience certainly would be against God, because we obey God rather than man, we're told in Acts 5 and verse 29. But the idea is that you obey your parents as they are guiding you in the ways of the Lord and teaching you the ways of the Lord. You obey them. You serve them. You do what they ask you to do. You don't question it. You don't say no. You don't say, I'll do it later. You just simply obey your parents in the Lord. And why is that? It says, for this is right. That's why. Because God says so, and it is the right thing to do. It is pleasing to God. That's another way that it's worded in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 20. Colossians 3 and verse 20, when it says, children, obey your parents, same thing. Children, obey your parents, but it's worded a little different. It says, in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. It's right, and it's right because it's well-pleasing to God. God has commanded children to be obedient to parents. And so children must do that. Well, let's look at another part of this. We've looked at the obedience for the child who's at home, who's under the wing of their parents, who's guiding them and showing them the way, and they're obeying them, doing what they tell them to do. And as they obey them, one necessary part of that is honoring your father and mother. Don't look at them and look down on them. Don't think that they are less than you are. Don't think that, hey, I'm going to grow up and be better than they are. Honor them. Honor them for who they are. You know, it's really easier to obey when you honor. If you truly respect them and honor them, then it is easier to obey them. When you respect their decisions and you realize that they know what is best for you, and you realize that they have experienced the problems and situations that you have. You know, they've been in grade school too. You know, they've gone through the issues with the kids, the problems with the homework, whatever it is. They've dealt with it just like you are going through. And so maybe they can help with those kinds of things. If you respect them, then it will be easier for you to obey them. But then, as we said earlier, this is not just talking about children who are too young and who are living at home. It's not just talking about children to honor their parents, because I want to suggest to you that all ages must obey this command of honoring your father and your mother. If we honor our fathers and our mothers, then as they get older, then we're not going to kick them aside. As they get older and sick, we're not going to say, well, we don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. We'll let somebody else take care of you. We're not going to put ourselves in a situation where we show a lack of respect to them by putting ourselves first and not helping and honoring them. In fact, we should be willing to care for them in any way that we possibly can, to do whatever we possibly can for them. And, you know, I understand that sometimes they might need long-term care, where they have to be taken care of by others. But if at all possible, we should care for them as we are able to do so. I want you to look with me in a couple of passages of Scripture. One is Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Jesus makes a point here in Matthew chapter 15 to the scribes and Pharisees, because they are accusing his disciples of not washing their hands before they eat bread. And that was a tradition of men. That was pointed out in class. Brother J.R. mentioned that in class, that this is one of the traditions of men. That wasn't a commandment of God, but they were demanding that Jesus' disciples wash their hands. Well, Jesus comes back at them, and he says, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" He says, "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother.'" That's what we're talking about right now. Honor your father and your mother. "And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." So, okay, we have this money, we have this assistance we can give to our father and mother because they're in need. Maybe they're sick, maybe they're elderly and they can't take care of themselves. We could help provide for them, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to take on that responsibility. And so we're just going to say, well, we'll just give the money to the Lord instead. He says, no. He says that you are not honoring your father and your mother if you make that decision, because you would be then following your own tradition rather than God's commandment to honor your father and mother. Your tradition is, well, we can just give this money to the treasury, give it to God, and that'll be just as good. But the commandment is, honor your father and mother and take care of them. No, an interesting thing about life is that eventually roles reverse. When a child is born and a child needs their parents to feed them and to bathe them, to change their diaper and to put them to bed, to take care of them, hand and foot, everything, they have to take care of them, provide for them. Eventually, if a parent lives long enough, in more cases than not, the child has to take care of the parents in the way that the parents had taken care of them, or someone has to. They have to be fed, maybe. They have to be taken to the bathroom. They have to be bathed sometimes. You know, I have an example of that also as far as my dad is concerned, and my mom too for that matter. When my grandpa, he lived to be 89, and he, when he was 89 years old, when he turned 89, he was still walking 3 miles a day. He was healthy as a horse, working in the garden, doing whatever he wanted to do. Well, he got cancer, and he went down quick when he got cancer. He died 6 months later. But when he got cancer and he started getting so sick, he couldn't eat for himself, he couldn't bathe himself, he couldn't go to the bathroom himself, he couldn't do any of that. So my dad started feeding him, bathing him, taking him to the bathroom, doing whatever he had to do to care for him. And some things that my dad did and that people sometimes have to do for their parents are things that really children don't want to even see about their parents. They don't want even to think about having to do any of that. And yet he was willing to help. Well, once he passed away, my granny was there by herself, and she wasn't in very good health. She lived about 11 years later after that, till 11 years later, but still she wasn't in real good health. He had cooked her food and taken care of her and all. Well, he was gone, so then my dad started taking care of her. Now, thankfully, they both had already lived with them. They had a house with an apartment attached to it, and so my grandparents had lived there for several years before either one of them got sick. But still, when she got where he wasn't there to take care of her, my dad would get up every morning and cook her breakfast. As early as she wanted to get up, he'd get up and he would cook her breakfast. He would make sure that she got her medicine, help her to bed. He would keep a baby monitor next to his bed in case she needed him during the night. And then my mom, she would be willing to cook for her also during the day, would be willing to clean her apartment for her, do her laundry, give her a bath, whatever it took. And that's honoring their parents. They didn't say, well, they're sick and they're old, and so we're just going to find somebody else to take care of them. We're not going to worry about them anymore. We're just going to let somebody else handle it because I've got all this other stuff to do. No, they put them a priority. And I know that we can't always drop everything and wait hand on foot on somebody. Everybody isn't in that situation where they can do that. But as much as we can do, we should do. And we shouldn't expect someone else to do it. It's our parents. We honor them. We love them. We want to do for them and help them in any way that we can. And I want to tell you what, when my mom and dad were doing that, that showed me what honoring a father and mother is all about. Because that's an example to me, and hopefully that I will be willing to do the same for them. And me and Yolanda were talking last night, you know, we're married now, and now it's the same with her parents. We were studying Ruth and Boaz last night, and how she dropped everything to take care of her mother-in-law. Wasn't even her true mother, it's her mother-in-law. Dropped it all. And we were talking about that, you know, that's our responsibility toward our parents. Both sides, and hopefully we will be willing to do what we can for them. Well, as the relationship changes, it changes between parents and children. Even though the respect still has to be there, children will eventually get to an age where they have to be responsible for their own actions. And we understand that. The command of Jesus that we leave and cleave. And it goes back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, what the arrangement is. You marry, you have kids, the kids leave their home, they cleave to their spouse, and then they make their own life. We understand that. That's what we are expected to do. And so as we are leaving and cleaving, we are making our own decisions now. You know, Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And that's our responsibility as parents to our kids. We're going to raise them so that they will have the ammunition they need to be out on their own, to live their life. And so they're going to be responsible for their own actions. So whereas now, as kids living at home, your parents can make your own decision, can make your decisions for you, eventually you're going to be out and you're going to be making your own decisions. And that's what we said earlier about what adults have to do and the difficulty that we sometimes have doing that. But we have to make that choice, that response, and make sure that we do that. We leave and we cleave and we make our own life. Now, I understand everybody doesn't necessarily get married. There's some people who leave and they remain single, but they still live their life. They still make their own decisions. And that doesn't mean I can't call up mom and dad and ask them, you know, what do you think about this? What's your advice about this? And then I make a decision. Am I going to do what they said, or am I going to do something else? But you know, whatever decision I make, I live with the consequences of that. But we make our own decisions, and we understand that. Now, we also understand there may be instances where the child still lives at home, and that's certainly fine. If they, for whatever reason, may have to move back in or may haven't been able to move out yet and they're an adult, well, maybe the parents and children have to make their own rules and figure out things there. But still, the child is still at an age where they make their own decisions. And we all eventually get to that point. And you know, if a child is living under their parents' roof still and they are an adult and they're making their own decisions, we need to understand this also. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You're not going to live under their roof and just let them take care of you and provide for you and mooch off of them, which some kids do. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." And that applies to the son living at home with his mama. thinking he doesn't have to work and shouldn't eat if he doesn't work, shouldn't just mooch after his parents. So we see that. We understand that certainly might be an instance where a child has to live at home. You know, there was a time about 5 years ago where I moved from Texas back to mom and dad's house at that time in my life where I had to do that. I just lived there for about 9 months, but I worked, I paid for food, I did chores, whatever I had to do. But they didn't lord over me and command me to do things like a parent would a child living at home. So we understand there's a difference in that relationship, even if one is living at home. But the idea is a child has to grow up and has to make their own decisions. And so we have to respect and listen to and appreciate our parents, whether we are still living at home or whether we have left the home. And hopefully, as I said, we have left the home and we are living on our own. But the parents have to realize that the child is now an adult and is making their own decisions, and yet the child has to realize that we have to continue to respect and listen to and appreciate them. As I said, you know, as an adult, sometimes I call mom and dad and ask them questions. Say, what should I do about this? What do you think about this? And, you know, now that I'm married, I don't have to do that as much. As I'm married to Yolanda, we talk about things and work things out. Sometimes we may ask advice from others also. And yet, as we ask advice, and we're not expected to necessarily do what they say, but we're going to listen to them, and we're going to respect them. And sometimes they may offer advice without asking. You know, parents do that. You as a parent may do that. You tell your kid what you think they need to know, and by your kid, I'm talking about your adult kid, what they need to know, even though they don't ask for it. And so then when that happens, you respect, you listen to, and you appreciate them, right? That's what we're supposed to do with our parents. The Lord intends for us to respect their advice. But then we make our decisions, and we live with our decisions. And so as we see, we're to obey our parents as children, and we're always supposed to honor our father and our mother. We're finally told that this is the first commandment with promise. Honor a father and mother is the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached to it. And that's what it means when it's the first commandment with promise. Those commandments that were given, it had a promise attached to it. And this is the promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. If you honor your father and mother, the promise is it will be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, that's not a promise that everything is going to be perfect. It's not a promise that everyone is always going to live a very long life, because we know that that certainly is not the case. And we can look at this spiritually speaking. We can look at this physically speaking. It certainly has to do with our spiritual well-being, because no matter how long we live, we will desire to be godly and spiritual. But it also has to do with our physical well-being. And it doesn't mean that we're going to live a long time, because we're not promised that. It doesn't mean we're going to live to be 80, 90, 100 years old. We're not promised that. We may just live to be 40. We may just live to be 20. We don't know how long we're going to live. Tragic accidents certainly happen and take lives of Christians. But it does mean that if we honor our father and mother, we respect them, we honor them, we do as they say, as we're kids, we obey them, then we will be less likely to be in danger if we heed their advice. You know, my parents warned me against the dangers of alcohol. Said, don't drink, don't start, don't take part in that at all. And so I don't drink now, so I'm not going to get out and drink and drive. And that's going to be one thing that's going to help my life be a little longer maybe, that I'm not going to put myself in danger like that. We're going to be careful. We're going to look at sinful things and stay away from it. And in that sense, our lives certainly would be extended to the extent that we are able to do that. But it also means that we don't care how long our lives are going to be. It's not going to matter whether we live 20 years or 40 years or 60 years or 100 years. Because we're going to know that if we honor our father and mother and they're teaching us to be in the Lord and to live lives as Christians, we honor them, we respect them, we serve them, we look at them as in a very high regard, and their advice in a high regard, and as they're teaching us what we should do, then they're going to teach us how we should live our lives spiritually. And we're going to be more interested in what happens in life after death anyway. And it's not going to matter how long we live on this earth. And so our physical well-being will not be as important. But this is what's going to happen. If children will obey their parents, if all of us will respect and honor and listen to and receive the advice of our parents in the right way, this is what's going to happen. That t-shirt that you saw on the beginning slide where you're trying to sell your parents, what's going to happen instead is we're going to say, I love my parents. And we're going to look at them for who they are and what they've been to us, who they are to us if they're still here, what they were to us if they have left this life. And we're going to appreciate them for that. And I hope that all of us look at this and take this into our hearts, and that we will teach our children also to be that kind of child for us as parents, that they will always respect and honor us the way that we should be our parents. Generation by generation, that needs to happen. And I hope that we're doing our part to help that to happen. Not just are we commanded to obey parents, we've been told by God how we should be Christians, how we should become Christians, how we should live our lives as Christians. And I hope that all of us have done that, that we've all made the decision to repent of our sins, to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, so that you can be saved from your sins, so you can be forgiven and go to heaven someday. If you haven't done that, we urge you to. We want you to become a Christian, to become a child of God. If you're already a Christian and haven't been living as you should, we want you to correct your life. We want you to repent and pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. He certainly will. And we're certainly here to pray with you and to help you in any way that you need. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?